Hello and welcome to the Impact Dynamics podcast.
I'm Andy Little.
I'm Plushy.
My name is Rusty.
Tonight we're talking about the finale, tack tables, mind games and 6/100ths of a second.
Yeah, and Plushy fondling balls.
Impact. Match trick, mate. Match trick.
Gemstone powder, bang.
Hope that's enough.
We need your vote.
Now we've caught up to where we are on the podcast.
All right, go on back.
Roll the outro. Third time's a charm, I guess, gentlemen.
Finally.
Finally got one of the intros right.
We practiced.
How long were you preparing that for, Plushy? That sounded well rehearsed.
No, we didn't rehearse that at all, Rusty.
No, your part.
I thought about it before.
Okay. Well, yeah. You did it very well. So much it threw me off saying anything. So
yeah, I thought about mine for a pretty long time too. Okay.
Good. You're just trying to feel included, aren't you, Plushy? Aren't you, Andy?
Yeah.
Good. We've got a room full of people. Somehow we've managed to sneak some guests in. And one of them being all the way from Darwin, so I guess we had to let him in.
But did we though?
Real shame.
Yeah,
real
anyway. Shame. But they haven't got microphones, so screw them.
The question is, will you let him out?
Yes, instantly.
Definitely, yes. He can go now if he likes. All right, we should do a round count. Check in on that. So, you guys prepared? Andy. Josh is here. Hello, Josh.
I'm here.
Oh, hi, Josh.
Yeah. That's fine.
There we go. Hey,
buddy. All right. Where's your glasses?
Huh? I broke them. I sat on them yesterday and now I have to wait 2 weeks for my new ones. Ow.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, good. It's a sore spot. Don't want to talk about it.
You should keep an eye out for Stobie poles.
The area sat on them sore or?
Both.
Both. Okay, good. All right, Andy, you were on. Let me load this up in the secret magic round counter. It's 2,236. Yep. What did you? Oh wow! How did that get to 12,000? 2,236. What did you do in the last 4 weeks? Because we had the hot wings episode. Did you guys all recover? Josh, did you recover from that?
I recovered from the hot wings bit just fine.
Okay.
The gin, not so much.
Righto. Plushy, you've changed. You've gone back to your normal colour.
Yep. a slightly lower shade of red.
Yeah, this is a good improvement. All right. So since then, so we go back 2 episodes now.
Yep.
Andy, what have you shot since then?
We had the Steel Slam at the club, so one-day competition. So about 160 rounds there, and then we've had the PRS finale.
Yes, we have.
Yes, we have. So in total, I'm sitting around the 340.
340. So that's going to put you, there should be a pen up there and maybe a cloth over there. That's going to put you at 2576. 2576. I'll let you work that one out. Over there, just above our podcast fridge, actually, that I'm sure will get used later. Plushy, what about yourself?
This took a while to work out.
It did.
It's been a while.
Spit on it. Spit on the cloth, I should clarify. Andy, spit on the cloth.
I shot Steel Slam.
Mm-hmm.
I did some training in the lead up to finale and I shot finale.
Yep.
I think 595 is my number.
Oh, total number?
Yeah.
Not total.
No, you have to add that to the other numbers.
Yeah, round counter. Not calculated. I didn't say that at all. What was your round count? 595.
595.
Oh, look out. There's some abuse coming our way.
That looks like some sort of double-ended weird shit.
That brings you up to 4,805, which is less than half of your claimed yearly round count.
Do you know what I haven't done this year?
Much shooting?
Yes.
Or
shot my 22.
Oh, yeah, true. Speaking of 22s, yeah. Josh. Josh is in.
I just want to go back. That's lies, because he's won all the 22 matches and then failed to win anything else.
Yep. Fair enough. He's got two trophies, which is two more than you've got, Josh.
I didn't claim I was good. I was just saying he wasn't.
Oh, no. What was the number, what was the number that was there, Andy, before you wiped it off?
Was it four? Well, I mean, they were 22 rounds, so they don't count.
4351, I think, was the number. Yep, let's go with that. Josh, what have you added to that tally?
I believe it's about 230.
230.
No, 260, because I went and did some shooting down at Morgan as well.
Right.
Okay, so 4-6-1-1 for Josh.
You only shot 30 rounds at Morgan.
Josh and Plushy, you're not.
No,
not,
that's not right.
Oh, did you shoot more?
Yeah, a lot.
I can't remember. Oh, yeah, I did too.
More like 130, but anyway.
Do we add 100 to it?
Yeah, we'll go
it?
That.
Yeah.
Okay, change, yeah, no, update it. 4-7-1-1. This is, we spend too much time
if
on this.
If you beat me.
Do I include the 22 ammo from that too? Because I shot at least 150 22 ammo.
Yeah, you definitely
do. We've established that it doesn't count.
Definitely count.
It does not count.
Okay, change it again. We're at 4861.
I'm literally going to go throw a brick of ammo in the fire.
I shot it.
Film it.
Good. That's a TikTok. Righto. So hang on. What's Plushy on? Oh, is it, Josh is in the lead.
Oh, really?
Josh is in the lead by about...
Oh, this is going really well.
Yeah, but 95% of my rounds 55. Are centre fire.
95%. Yeah, 95%. And mine's an easy one. I was on 601, and since then I have still on 601. Yeah.
Consistent. Consistency is key. People can't hear you. You don't have a microphone.
Nick, don't talk while you're on here. All right. We're not going to stop for you. It's just a bit silence while we all... ignore you. Well, the big news is that the PRS finale has finaled.
Has been run and won and taken overseas.
Outsourced.
This has been outsourced.
That's a better way of putting it. Yeah.
Outsourced.
Offshore outsourcing. Yeah. The finale, the Night Force 2023 Night Force PRS finale is what I should say. And It was good. I think actually everyone here went.
Yep.
Everyone, including all our guests, were there. Yes. Yes. Well, gentlemen, give us some overall thoughts. How, in general, did it go? We'll get down to the details, particularly around tech tables later. But overall, how did it go? Andy?
Yeah. No, I think it was a really good match. You know, we had, you know, beautiful late starts, which enabled us to go to, you know, cafes in the morning, get a coffee.
And
good
what was
breakfast.
The name of that cafe?
The Five Littles, it was.
Yeah. Was that chosen by you, was it?
Look, to be honest, it just popped up near us and I was like, hey, I must go see relatives.
Yeah, so, okay.
Where did you finish?
What do you mean?
Nothing. No, in the match. Was it fifth?
No.
Oh, right. It takes away what I thought you were fifth. That takes a little bit away. No, yeah, that's okay. The series, not the match.
Oh, seven.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Close.
Yeah.
It wasn't six.
I thought it was fifth, and I was going to go, oh, even improvement. If you go to the Four Littles next time, you'll do better.
That was a very long, drawn-out bad joke.
Yeah.
Sorry, can you push rewind, Josh?
Nah.
Edit. Cut.
Yeah.
Not that sophisticated.
Sam.
Yet.
Sam.
Sam's away this week. So
oh, shit.
He's not me.
No, oh, no, it's Josh. You're all in trouble. Yeah. All right, Andy, but sorry. You had a wonderful cafe feast in the morning.
To be honest,
that was the highlight of the finale for you.
Yeah, yeah. I think the late starts are really nice. You get to wake up, take it easy in the morning. You just rock
10
up.
O'clock, 10 o'clock start is the...
Yeah.
How was the random late hotel change?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We just,
that was all right. You know, throw a bit of a mix in there. Keep everyone guessing.
Is this the bit where the hotel, we booked 8 rooms and they gave us 3 and then found more 2 more, so they gave us those, but there were still 3 short. Mm. So I had to change hotels. Josh had to change hotels. I rang Plushy. I'm like, hey, do you, are you particularly fussed about where you sleep? And he said, no, I'm grumpy and I just want pizza and a sleep. I'm like, all right, well, I'll just send you an address. And and then Andy rings me. He's like, hey, we updated our booking to a different thing, but they didn't record it.
Yep. Yeah, it's a bit of confusion. Yeah. That's all right.
And then
that's
we basically slept on the train tracks.
We we did. Although we had a good night there. It was all right.
Yeah. So and then we shot a match, but then really the highlight was the Sunday night. So,
oh, straight. We're boycotting the entire podcast into McFlurry time. Is that what we're doing?
No, we did that Saturday night too.
Oh yeah,
not all of us were invited to the Saturday.
The real match was at Macca's.
I think we're jumping all over the place. Thursday night we struggled for accommodation, but we got there in the end. Righto. Friday, take us through Friday practice. What did you guys do for practice?
Well,
I was setting up a mover.
Oh yeah, Friday morning you were setting up the mover.
That's the one that you shot heaps of rounds at.
Oh yeah, I spent the entire lead up making the mover work, not shooting it. For your information,
sure.
Yeah,
I like how you didn't shoot it. You didn't shoot at Mildura.
Yeah,
didn't shoot it since.
No, until you got to finale. All of the opportunity I had to gain an advantage was wasted.
By
making the thing work.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, mover worked.
It did work. It did work. We went backwards and forwards all weekend. It didn't have any confidence issues this time.
Yeah,
it
didn't fail.
Well, it didn't quite work before Friday practice, but there was a couple of last minute modifications.
That's before practice.
We'd actually talked about not having it in practice anyway and just having it appear in the match.
Oh, did you have it in practice?
No.
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 No, okay. We did not because it wasn't working. Yeah. just changed a couple of bits and it worked perfectly fine after practice, which was great because then it had to be in the match without being practiced on.
Good.
It was the same.
So it lines up for you then with all the practice.
Yeah.
You hadn't actually done.
It really showed from what I've heard. Anyway.
Yeah, we'll get on to your results on the movie later.
Yeah.
Righto. Andy, what did you practice on Friday?
Well, I did the really smart thing of...
No, you didn't. I don't believe you straight away.
Going back to ACT, I thought it'd be really good to do a seating depth test on the Friday.
Okay.
And before...
This is the first I'm hearing about this. Yeah. This is good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
ACT?
No, I heard about ACT.
Yeah.
At the finale.
But that was at the finale. No, but at the finale, I did the really smart thing of really cleaning my barrel like really, really well.
Mm.
So I needed to like send good odd 50 rounds through it to nail it back in.
What velocity were you getting? I do remember this bit.
Yeah. There was... I don't know what was going on there. I think what I'd done is set up my lab radar too high above the barrel and it was getting some weird velocities, like 200
feet. Like everybody else's?
No, like a good, like I was getting 200 feet per second, like splits. Like it was just all over the shop.
Is that the word you're looking for?
Extreme spreads. And
so I think you were getting someone else's, perhaps?
Maybe.
Yeah, I might have grabbed plushies. I heard it works every now and then. So, but yeah, no, it was right where it needed to be. It's just... The radar was picking up some weird stuff.
Yep. Okay. All right. So you checked it all out and you were on fire.
Yeah. And really then
and on Friday night, what did you gentlemen do Friday night?
Yeah. Ooh. Was it soft serves?
No, we didn't because we went to the RSL for dinner.
No, we were going to go back.
You guys went to soft serves. You did 3 nights in a row.
Yeah.
You fat fucks.
Oi, all right. Oi, I won't have you use that term without involving me, all right?
Right. Well, you were invited.
Oh, not Friday night. It definitely wasn't.
Right. No, where did we go? We went to RSL.
Yeah. We diverted to the supermarket on the way home and then didn't make it.
Oh, well, we committed to the soft serve.
How was our Friday night, Josh? Calmer than these?
I can't remember now. I reckon it was pretty tame. Didn't we just go to dinner?
We met the burlesque dancers.
I heard about this.
Yeah.
What?
And then went to bed.
How did I?
Are you sure you went straight to bed?
I did. Yep. I guarantee you I did. I did. Wasn't even invited for McFlurry's.
Oh.
Right. Were you invited for anything else?
I was not.
No. Oh, somebody else. Yep.
I was not. Yep. I did invite them to, someone else may have been, but I did invite them to come see the shooting because both their husbands were very keen shooters. So trying to spread the word. What kind of shooters? Rifle and shotgun shooters normally.
Right, got you.
Yeah. I know where you're going with that.
I had a different picture in my mind.
Yeah, well, you keep that in your mind, all right? That's where it needs to stay.
We should backtrack to Thursday.
There was a Thursday now.
There was a Thursday, yeah. Okay. So I drove over with my co-driver.
Cool story. Okay, back to Friday.
And then he doesn't like gluten food, doesn't agree with him.
Okay.
So we pulled in, we're like, oh, we've been snacking all day. It was like 8 o'clock at night or maybe 9 o'clock. Like, we don't need dinner. We'll be fine. I was like, I'll just get some fuel. And there was an Italian pizza house right there. And before I could say, yes. Noski, it doesn't agree with you, he'd already ordered two. I was like, I have to put up with this because we're sharing a room.
Yeah. How did that go?
Well, I don't know. I took sleeping tablets and just hoped for the best.
Cracked a window.
Okay.
Yeah, we did crack the window in preparation and then there was trains.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can see this all being a problem.
Those trains were great.
Yeah. No, they were not. The freight trains, they went all night.
They did.
Yeah.
I was out of it. So, I had a good feed that night. So, didn't bother. Anyway, we're jumping around.
Did you get McFlurry's?
No, I wasn't invited.
Did you get McFlurry free?
Saturday. No, you bought me one on the last night.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Forgot about that.
Saturday morning. We got up to the range. The guys had done a good job setting up, started handing out these jerseys that you're wearing, gentlemen. That was my job on Saturday morning.
Fantastic.
Passed them out to everyone. That was exciting. Yeah, it's always nice when you're giving out stuff that people don't necessarily expect. So that's always cool. Oh, yeah. It's come with a hood there, Andy. That's way better.
Gangster.
There's a sound bite.
There's a TikTok.
Did you shoot your rifle sideways at all?
I tried.
Yeah, that explains some stuff.
Righto. So Saturday morning, getting ready for the getting prepared. What take us through it?
It was good. Actually, the whole lead up was actually really good for me because I was helping. I put the mover out and did all those sorts of things, and it just felt like a club match for me because setting things up, and it's like, oh, it's time to shoot. Let's go do that. And there was no time to think about it, like the what ifs and all of those things, and it was just rolled straight into it. And actually, Saturday morning was really good. We went down range. We got there early just in case there was any dramas with the mover.
Yeah.
Pushed the start button and it went backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
Like, cool. Today's going to be a good day.
Nice.
It was, I think the wind kicked up pretty early on Saturday.
It did.
Which was good. Yep. Wandered down range, had a bit of a squiz. It was doing some funky things depending on which bit of the range you were at.
Yeah. There's a few, like sort of clearings from the trees where the you get sort of gully.
We got some giggles in the background
these,
there.
What are these two?
The children are giggling.
Yeah, the children are giggling.
Oh, did they're I making just cough a whiff. Or
yeah,
something?
I think we did. Yeah. The
the
built-in entertainment have impacted the show when he's giggling so much. That's
right. That's the first.
That's rough.
First flight back to Darwin.
Miff left the building.
No. Oh yeah. Our additional guest has just walked out.
Is that optional?
But as the hot sauce episode was 2 weeks ago, mate. All right. It's still playing a role. So you were settled Saturday morning.
Felt like a club match.
It did. Yeah. Had a good attitude. I think wasn't too. I didn't have any expectations rolling into the weekend. I was just there to have a good time.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Good.
We had good squads. We had an actual super squad.
Did you?
Yeah, right.
We did. Oh, like a super guys, not like super cool guys.
Yeah. Okay. So good squad.
Yeah, we got squatted with some decent guys, guys that I shoot with a bit, which is always good. So you can stage prep and plan and try and beat the wind and that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We were lucky enough to get Martin. From MDT.
Oh, yes.
That was pretty cool, getting to shoot with him.
Yep. What's he like as a shooter? I didn't really see him shoot much over the weekend.
He's all right.
Neither.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't shoot all the time. Obviously, he's got a big business to run. But he didn't do badly.
Yep.
Okay.
Didn't do badly at all.
Yep. Nice.
Very good.
I saw him got eight out of eight on the school stage too.
Oh, how did Andy go on that stage? What did you get? Andy.
Great. I went really quick.
That's not what we asked. How did you go on that stage?
Not the quickest, but fairly quick.
Wasn't the quickest?
No. The gentleman sitting over there making all
the
odours, he went the quickest.
Yeah, but how did that guy go?
Not great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you equaled scored with him, both sevens.
Oh, really? Yeah. Dropped the, I think it was the fourth to last or something, and just, it was disappointing, really.
That was day one. That was day one tiebreaker stage.
Yeah,
there was a prize on the line.
There was.
Horace were good enough to throw a scope on the table for the fastest clean.
Yeah. Yeah. That was second stage in for me, and I think I was just still a bit jittery. I wasn't calm and, I don't know. Talking to Neil afterwards, he's like, "Oh, you were smashing that center, and then you had one that went far right." And I was like, "Yes, I know."
Was that where you were pointing when it went?
No, that's where my hand pushed the rifle when I pulled the trigger. Yes,
right. Yeah, we got it. I rocked up. I reckon that was about my fifth or sixth stage for the day, maybe. Nice.
Yep.
Rocked up, and the chatter was that Patrick from the USA had cleaned it in 29 seconds. We were like, well, there's no point trying that. Just going to drop points.
Yep.
So I put down a safe banker in 40.04. It's going to be important in a little bit.
Yep.
I felt really solid and I was seeing where they were going and I'm like, yep.
Just taking time.
Just put down, this will be important later in the match if you happen to do well.
Points are important.
Eight points will win you more matches than 30 seconds.
Yep.
I've heard
and then,
that.
Yep. then it got to the presentations for the fastest skills 2 run. Patrick gets coming through like, oh, Plushy got 40.04 in second. Like, oh, damn it. And then it's like, Patrick, 39.98.
Like,
that is not 29 seconds. I was like, I could have.
But do you think, Plushy, if you knew how like the point it was, do you reckon you would have rushed it and missed? Possibly missed.
I can't say, but all I can say is I probably took an extra 4, 5, 6 seconds just taking my time and making sure that the shot was perfect.
Yeah.
You don't need to be perfect on skills too. So no, it's pretty generous.
But if you're not.
I can never tell you. I'll never know. I'm pretty sure I had 6/100ths of a second in me if I was trying.
I mean, I'm
trying to go a bit quicker. No, if I was trying to go a bit quicker.
If I was trying. Quicker. I wasn't really trying, but rocked
correct.
Up. So looking back on day one.
Is this going to be a challenge at the club? It's fastest skill stage clean.
Well, I did that at the steel slam. There was a cash prize for it, and I got that too.
Oh, wow.
Oh, right.
What time was that?
Nobody cleaned it, so it went for the. it wasn't proper skills too. There was a KOL rack, and it was very windy.
That was KOL. Yeah.
Righto. Got it.
Yeah, that was a great stage. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
So end of day one. Now we'll go back through one or two of the stages, but end of day one, you guys finished up on the same points.
We did.
That's right.
Mm. But he had me on skills.
Yeah.
I've always got you on skills, buddy.
Typical F class shooter.
True. Yeah, while you're there, Plushy. We're just enjoying our new, not our new bar fridge, but our added bar fridge.
Nearly. Oh,
our guest has decided he wants a drink. Yeah. So
I'll pass it to him.
That's all right.
Guests.
You're going to peg it at him. Oh, okay. There's a bit of shake up
quick,
in there.
Quick little.
Oh, I'm glad. Not in front of the camera, you muppet.
Oh dear, here we go.
Drip, on the couch, not
Butters,
the
what was in that
carpet.
Mug? It wasn't coffee, was it? No, I didn't get the impression that it had alcohol in it.
Someone's been drinking rum all night and wants to fight everyone.
Oh, that's right. He's a lightweight. I remember. Yeah. That's his first one, yeah.
This bloke's one drink and he's down. Yeah, righto. Favourite stage of Saturday? You guys got any anything that recalls him?
Have a little look through. Quick flick?
Yeah, cool. You can do what you need to, mate. I'm not here to judge. Ooh. But
so bouncing on the buzz wire was cool.
How's that?
Bouncing on the buzz wire was really good.
Okay, tell us about it.
There was what's that game?
When you're
a kid and you have to move the loop over the wire and you get a shock.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Whatever that's called. Is it Doctor or? Yeah. Oh, maybe not Doctor.
No.
I don't know, whatever it is.
What were you playing when you were
Doctor
younger?
Was very different when I...
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but you had a
Doctor
high...
changed from when you were young to a teen. Anyway.
Ah, you had a high level and a low level, and basically it was just a steel post that went down, across, up, across, down, and you had to shoot one target off the top one and a big and a small off the bottom one. It was simple, but it was good.
Because you
were constantly
moving?
Constantly moving. You had to manage your time and your equipment and all those things and your tripod rear and all that sort of stuff. And it was a good stage.
Okay. Yep. Very good. Andy, what about you? Anything that stands out from day one?
I'm going to say if this was a good stage and I would have really enjoyed it if it wasn't the first stage.
Okay. Which
and
was?
That was the bowling ball ones. Bowling from the basement.
Righto. Tell us about it.
So essentially you got to... What was that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bowling pins. So quite narrow targets. Your wind calls have got to be pretty well spot on. And then there was a big target closer. And essentially you hit the big one, then move on to the first bowling pin, hit the big one again, second distance, two bowling pins, and then so on and so forth. I liked the, I guess, you know, what it's trying to prove and what it's trying to do, but my wind calls were not good.
I was missing those them. Bowling pins will punish you for
they were skinny. Yes. Yes. So
I also like Porthole Rapids. That was the big. Yeah, that was the big 12 shot stage.
I ran this stage for I think for a number of ones. It was actually I had a good Saturday as well because we were running a bit of a catch up because we were an odd number of squads over an even number of stages. Right. And so there was often a time where we could sort of move a squad on but didn't have people to run the stage. So that was the role I played. I just filled in, and so I ran the porthole one.
Yeah.
That was really good to see a bunch of people shoot.
Yeah, it was. When you have to end it up, there was 6 windows maybe or 7, somewhere around there. Yep. And they had to choose 2 of the portholes and engage the near target with 1 round.
Yep.
And then they chose any of the next 4 portholes and engage the small target.
Eight portholes.
Yep. And 1 round from each position, and then the shooter goes to the last 2 portholes and engages the new target with 1 round again. So there was a little bit of planning went into that one to make sure you were in the good portholes. There's a couple you could shoot off your bipod, I reckon.
Yeah, there's 2 prone portholes.
Yeah.
Did you choose to go the far targets for them?
I started on the right-hand side.
Tripod, bipod.
Okay.
I can't remember if I used tripod on it. I don't think I did because that was a pretty sturdy barricade.
I was a bit worried that the wind was going to. I watched Butters shoot it, and I watched your rifle going like this. At the very, it was buffeting the very end of your rifle. I'm like, I don't want that wobble, so I'm going to use tripod rear.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
I scored pretty good on that.
Yeah, I know, but I watched the wobble on the end of your barrel and decided that that wasn't for me.
So I saw quite a, because I probably ran a dozen shooters through it, I saw quite a few different ways of doing it. Some guys went, you could see generally the less confident guys would shoot the first 2 prone, the smaller target but closer in prone, and to pretty much, okay, I'm guaranteed I'm going to get those ones. Then they'd move to sort of one of the other positions and go from there. And then I think their last 2, they were just like, oh, I hope for the best on the small ones. So I saw that. And then generally the more confident shooters would shoot left to right or right to left, whichever one worked out best. I did a couple of shooters that just went in some weird order that I couldn't quite work out, and had to be on my game to make sure they didn't use the same porthole multiple times. Yeah. But yeah, that was fun stage, and that barricade was solid. Yeah.
What about,
really
what about the move, Randy? Not your favourite stage?
Oh, I sort of cocked that up. But I just realised I did clean a stage that wasn't a skill stage.
You cleaned a stage.
I cleaned a stage.
You cleaned Porthole Rapids.
I did.
Well done. Thank or at least you wrote down that you did. One of the two. One of the
Is
two.
Is this the second matchbook that you got and you just put clean for everything?
Yeah.
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 I also only cleaned one stage besides skills.
Which one did you clean?
The bouncing on the buzz wire.
Ah, so that's why you, that's so you guys like bring it. Up the ones that you liked and you stopped well on.
Come on. Yeah. Well,
we should talk about.
Drop one on that.
Yeah, talk about the bowling from basement where Andy got 5 out of 10.
First stage up. I think I was second or third. I think I was third up. Okay. It was just.
Cool.
Yeah, rough.
So Saturday night, gentlemen, we announced that you guys are on the same. Did you already know that you're on the same school?
I think we'd worked it out.
Rumours were getting around. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. And so then it comes out. Now, plus you don't normally like to talk about scores.
No, not normally.
But it obviously it got announced.
Yes, didn't have a choice.
Yeah, didn't have a choice with that one.
Yep.
What did you guys do with that information? Did you like, well, whatever. Yeah.
Don't give it away.
Don't give it away.
Yeah, come on.
We're building to it.
So I had a few people there's been a few people that have been testing the water when I've been going okay since I made the statement that I don't like talking about scores, and some of those people have paid the price physically.
Okay.
And then I think Andy decided to...
I remember at Tassie, there's an example of this at Tassie where someone had said something, you'd had a swing at them, an appropriate swing, but a swing at them. And then I came up to you... And I said, hey, Plushy, you're doing better than I am. And you reached your foot out to have a swing at me. And then you basically just pulled all the force out of it and gave me a light tap with your toes.
Just a love tap.
Just a love tap as you realised that you beating me didn't mean anything given that I was arrowing. And so I was impressed with your reaction time, actually, to be able to pull all the force out of the kick. I realised that I wasn't breaking any of your rules.
You were correct.
I was correct was. And also wasn't useful at all.
Yeah, so I think
sort of sums me up.
Well, I was sitting next to Andy come the announcement of places on Saturday night. We'd had a couple of drinks and Andy immediately tried to start getting in my head. Immediately. Just started talking about how well I was going and it'd be bad if I stuffed it up tomorrow and you know that sort of stuff. And so I sort of sat there and I was like, well, I mean, I'm not in the running for the season championship, so I guess there's nothing that I can really lose that maybe you could, Andy.
Yeah, yeah. Good one.
Ouch.
Because Andy, you'd entered in fifth, hadn't you?
Yes.
You're only a couple of points behind,
four and a bit.
Four and a bit. Okay, so a little bit behind the leaders who are on 200 points. You're on 196 something ish.
5 points something.
Okay, 195 points something. Okay, so it was all coming down. Well, seems like Saturday night is an appropriate time to pause and make mention of some support that we get. Yep. So today we haven't grabbed any Bearded Chap stuff, although Bearded Chap is great stuff. So go and use the code IMPACT on the Bearded Chap thing. That's the one. But tonight, Scoped Out is doing a bit. Plus, he's going to go get some beard oil anyway. Good stuff.
Right. Yeah.
No, you can. Go for it, mate. If you want to make yourself feel better, that's all right. I mean, given after your performance.
You should try the hand sanitizer again.
This is my usual beard oil. Just doing something I forgot to do before I left.
Scoped Out is doing a post-PRS season sale. So you can go there. Awesome. Not right now. We're live, but once this episode goes out, you'll be able to see a whole stack of discounts off tripods and scopes and all the PRS-related things that Scoped Out do. A whole stack of them are on sale at the moment to clear them out after the season. So go and grab them, grab yourself bargains, and thanks to Scoped Out to allow us to exist. So, this is getting passed around. We can talk about the Bearded Chap as well.
Oh, that was some force.
That was a save.
Right.
Hit it away at the wrong seconds.
I like how Plushy said this is my everyday beard oil and then goes for the most expensive beard oil.
That's exactly what I use every day.
The everyday one that he doesn't pay for.
Go away. I pay fair money for that.
Good. Good. I'm glad.
I'm supporting the people that support PRS, Russ. You should try it.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I do.
I know. You've been trying it for a long time.
I've tried a long, long time. The Bearded Chap, bearded chap.com/impact. There we are.
Yeah, too slow, Josh.
I wasn't even trying. Couldn't be bothered. It's too far away.
Can I have some of that, actually? Oh. That's Butters hasn't got a beard to try
put
on.
Put oil in that thing.
Yeah.
No, I'm all right. I know where your hands have been.
I'll hold him down, butters. I will hold him down.
All right, there we go. That's, dude, that is better. Life has just gotten better.
Yeah.
There we go. Righto, Andy, do you need some of that?
I'm all good.
All right, so we should shout out. This is the tobacco and vanilla. It's good. Best, the best one, yeah, isn't it?
My go-to is the gin and tonic.
Gin and tonic's my go-to?
Yeah.
But this is the special occasion.
True, it is.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's my everyday. What do I go to from there?
Nothing. You just, you peaked, mate. But we knew that. Righto, speaking of peaking,
well, at least
day two.
Downhill from now.
At least I peaked.
Yeah, on to day two. Everybody peaks. It's just the depth that varies. Righto. Anything from day two that stands out stage-wise?
Hang on. Let me check.
Something that I've liked about this match, which I've, I don't know if you noticed much either.
These things. The target layout?
Matchbooks?
No.
Oh, yes. No? Yeah,
the target layouts?
Yeah,
they're
definitely
great.
The matchbook with the target layouts, the map sort of thing.
That's when you get a graphic designer to make your matchbook. You get all the bits and pieces.
Because there was no questioning what targets you were shooting at. Everything
but you're also shooting in your lane, so
some,
it's not that hard.
Some people did shoot the wrong targets.
Oh, I shot the wrong target.
Do you remember that stage where I thought I aimed at the right target and I still swear that I aimed at the right target and hit the one like 3 meters to the side? Yeah, that stage.
Yeah.
Yep. I have a mental picture of
Butters is questioning it, but you guys still beat him, so.
Yeah. Something I've liked on the stages is there's a lot
only just as enough, Butters.
there was a lot of stages that were left up to decide positions.
Okay. Tell us about that, Andy.
Oh, well, I guess
hang on, what? I wasn't listening. You start again.
Josh, can you play it back for us?
Yeah.
No, this is not that type of podcast.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
One job, mate.
No, I feel like a lot of the stages were up to the shooter to decide their positions or order of positions, which I like.
Some shooters tried to negotiate the stage. That didn't work out so well for
them. But it just sort of adds another, not complexity, but, you know, you got to think about your process and where you're going to be in certain positions for certain targets and... And yeah, I think that was good rather than just making
I like decision making in a stage. I like the troubleshooting or the problem solving.
Because people will try things different ways and play to their strengths.
I particularly like stages where the decisions you make at the start of the stage directly affect the end of your stage. And if you don't make the right decision, it can be bad, but it's hard in a group situation where the first two or three people will like kind of figure it out for everybody else as well.
Yep.
So it doesn't have the claim. Doesn't quite have the same effect sometimes.
Yep.
Bring back blind stages.
Agree.
Blind stages are great. Righto. What favourite stages from day two, gentlemen, if there were any?
Porner's table.
Porner's table. Yeah.
The family table.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to explain that one
right,
now.
There was a what would you call it?
Stage nine. A children's bench.
A kindergarten sized picnic table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And somebody that may be in the room, not sure. No, it didn't happen. Definitely wrote on there the Ash Porner family table. In a very prominent spot.
Okay. Good. That's the bloke that won the series, right?
That's the one.
That's the one. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Plus one. Oh, that plus one stage was, it came across as really horrible, but it actually wasn't that bad.
Wasn't too bad.
Give us the rundown.
There was four target arrays, and the first target array had four targets. The second target array had three, third had two, fourth had one.
Right.
And there was basically, well, in the matchbook there was, but not when you looked at it, there was four... what do you want to call it? Lanes of targets or lines of targets. So you shot the first line you can see was target one, and then you come back to the start, and then it was target two, three, and you go to the third line, and you go three, four, five, six, and you come back to the start, seven, eight, nine, ten. It looked really simple when you wrote it down, but then you look downfield, and it wasn't representative of the picture you had in your mind. So you really had to think about where you were at.
So you had a whole stack of targets at different distances on different racks that you had to sort of
and
line
you had
up.
Engage in the correct order.
Okay.
It got easier. The targets got bigger. So they started small, which was different.
Yep.
So you really had to concentrate at the start, and there was benefit in shooting quickly and then getting onto those last targets. So they were quite big and generous, and you could rattle the last four shots off.
Mm. It's interesting how you described your target order, because you described it in shot order, where I described it in how it's hung on the rack. So
that is how I wrote my first data card.
Yeah,
and that is not how I ran the stage. I ran it like that.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think that's a hard one to explain on a podcast, and a hard one to.
It's almost like 10-pin bowling. Mm. Like that's kind of like the way the target looks.
What's the data card?
Oh, look at that.
There you go.
Now that's not a. Hang on. Mine's over here.
Yeah. I still don't think that helps on an audio podcast.
What about that?
That works. That's it.
Yeah, for everyone listening, listen to that.
Listen to the card that Plushy has.
It's easy. It's 1-2-1-3-2-1-4-3-2-1.
That wasn't even the card. okay. It was a challenging. It was lots of targets, and
that was just a good. It was a different.
It was
type
good
of
stage.
Yeah.
Okay,
different type of stage.
What was your wind call for 490?
It was 4 miles per hour.
Oh, in your dots. What's that?
In my dots.
Mills.
It's 4 miles an hour at every distance. Much easier. You have to think about mills. You just think about one number.
This is true. Anything else that stood out? Job seeker. Was that one that someone messed up on?
No, I did okay on that. I dropped one.
Okay.
I don't remember what that one was.
That was the one with the excavator bucket and the traffic barricade something else. What was the other thing?
That's right. You guys had a couple of interactions. You're in different squads, but you guys had a couple of interactions throughout the day.
Yeah,
we did.
Tell us about that. Because you've gone in today. Patrick was out in front with a couple of points on you guys, but you guys were equal second, third.
Yep.
Effectively second.
No, I had Andy on points. I was second.
Effectively second at that.
No, I was second.
You didn't have him on points.
No, on skills. On the countback I did.
It was only halfway through the countback to count, right, so it doesn't really count. So you guys were basically going in on day two, second.
Equals, I heard.
Equals. And but you guys had a couple of interactions.
What did?
He came up to me on Sunday morning and said, "Good luck, friend of me." And I was like, "Thank you." I don't know how to say that.
Yeah,
respond.
Okay. Polite. Polite. Yeah. Okay. And then
The mind games began.
Okay. Yeah. Let's get into these mind games. Righto.
So I think from my point of view, I'd had an okay morning. I think I'd at that point dropped 3 on one stage and maybe 1 on another 2 or 3 stages. So I'd had a relatively good start to the day.
Yep. What about you, Andy? Did you have a decent start to the day?
I did have a decent start to the day.
Yeah, righto. Where'd you start on this order?
Nines. 9, 9, 8, 8.
9, 9, 8, 8. 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10.
Well, we would have been pretty
8
much
out of 12.
Like level,
you guys would have been pretty level at that point.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
Right. And then Andy, I just finished telling Rusty. He's like, "Oh, how you going, mate?" I'm like, "Yeah, not too bad, actually. I've had a pretty solid start. Just dropped a few on that one, but that's all right."
Mm-hmm.
And we're mid conversation, and Andy walked up, and he'd kind of like, "Hey, you going, Plushy?" I'm like, "Ain't dropped a point yet, Andy." He's like, "What?" I'm like, "Oh, I had a good morning."
I was like,
"And Plushy, you guys were chatting, then I wandered off, and then Andy's walked back past me, and I've said to her, I said, Andy, hey, do you know the little tell that the Plushy has when he's lying? You can work out how when he's lying." And Andy's like, "No. What's that?" I'm like, "His lips are moving."
Yeah, I was like, "Yeah."
So I was trying to give him a bit of a heads up. But anyway.
Yeah, but it got better because then you walked up. Obviously, at that point, you were like, "Oh, wow." Like, you know, maybe he's going all right. You weren't sure, I think.
Yeah.
You were
a bit I had to try and suss it out.
You walked up to Sean. And then, like, I happened to be standing about 5 meters away. And this is the beauty of electronic hearing protection. You can hear what's going on. And you were like, you walked up to Sean. And he was like, "Oh, I heard Plushy's going all right. How does he going this morning?" And Sean was just happened to glance over at the right time. Yeah. And this is not going to work on a podcast, but I gave him a death stare. And he's like, "Oh yeah, no, he hasn't dropped a point. Oh, there was that one where they ripped you on that edge hit they didn't give you." I'm like, "Oh, that," and then I leaned in like, "Yeah, I know, I'm dirty about that point." And at that point
very,
you were like
very
you're
misleading.
In. You were hooked at that
like,
point.
I don't know about this.
And then it
were you believing it, Andy, or were you just like, "Nah, this is Plushy"?
Nah. I don't know, I've seen him shoot.
Yeah.
But it was at this point that I knew I had you because you were thinking about me and not your next stage. And I was like, "This is working really well."
Yeah.
And then you walked up to me after I'd shot my next stage, and I think you caught the end of it, and I actually cleaned it. And at that point you were like, "Ooh.
Did
oh,
you?
Wow. Yeah, you're like.
Which one was that?
The one I cleaned."
That wasn't
the single one stage cleaned.
No, I cleaned a few on Sunday.
Oh, did you now?
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Oh, wow.
You caught me. I got it. I had a good run during the middle of the day where I think I cleaned. No, I dropped 1 point over 3 stages. So I cleaned 2, dropped a single point.
Oh, nice one.
Okay.
And then I remember walking all the way down to the other end of the range to shoot my stage. And then approximately my turn to shoot, Andy just appeared out of nowhere to watch me shoot because he wasn't sure what was going on. At this point, I'm like, "Your day is done if you're thinking about how I'm shooting and not how you're shooting."
Because I came
he just
over
wanted
early.
To support a friend, mate. What are you so worried about?
Right.
Well, I came down like all trying to like be supportive. I said, "I'm going to watch you shoot this stage."
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was looking down the range, saw him, and I was like, "Oh, I'm going to catch the end of this."
Yeah.
How did that stage go?
I think I dropped 3 on that one. You're like, "Oh."
You didn't look too happy.
Yeah, you're like, "Oh, geez, to see you dropped a couple on that one." I'm like, 3 out of 6 stages is probably not too bad.
And then, funnily enough, when it was time for me to shoot the next stage, you wouldn't believe who was standing behind me.
Was it Josh? No.
He was pretty much standing behind me the whole weekend, covering things.
I'm going to guess it was Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I just wanted to know how to shoot stages properly, I guess.
What not to do.
Yeah. Pretty much.
No. Very good. Now, Josh, while we leave these two to bicker before we get to the results, you've been at every PRS match this year.
I have.
One of very few people to do that. Has anyone else done that this year?
I'm not sure.
I don't know if anyone does.
No, I don't think there has
been. I wouldn't be confident that anyone
95%
has.
95% of people didn't.
No, you're right. Yeah. Going backwards. Yeah. How was this match as a finale? Did it deliver? You know, as a sort of the ultimate match of the season type thing?
I think in terms of closeness, it did. Over the course of the weekend, you got to, like, everyone's having very solid days. You got to Saturday results, and you're going, everyone's very tight.
You're like, between, first and 15. Guys, do you want to have your own podcast?
It's just your picker on the side. That's exactly what we're doing.
Fair enough.
All right, officially muted. We'll mute
those guys.
We actually found out what the problem was.
Between 15th and 1st, there was, 9 points in it?
Yeah, it was nothing. There was six or seven shooters all on the same points, in sixth to...
I particularly remember it was 15th because that's where James Head was and he wouldn't shut up about it. Anyway, carrying on. We don't need to give him any more airtime on that.
Yes. But yeah, no, I think just in terms of the closeness and even going through onto Sunday is you were going, watching people shoot throughout the day and there wasn't necessarily anyone you could really pick as... Now this person's got it in
storming
the back.
Away. Yeah,
it was. This is going to be very tight and down to the wire.
Which it did end up being. Mm. And in terms of the match for you, Josh, how was it? I mean,
it was great. I had extra help with me, so
true.
Just chilled out for the weekend and tried to avoid getting hit.
How did that work out for you?
Mostly well.
Mostly well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. 95% well.
The bearded guy over here got a good one on that weekend too. I was walking past as you do with all of your equipment, like gun in one hand, three tripods in the other, backpack on, and I was just like, as I walked past Nick, I'm like, if I just flick my tripod here,
he copped it. Good.
Who needs tripods?
So we get down to the business end of the match on Sunday,
yeah.
And how. Andy, three stages. Do you want to delve into the last three stages for us? Or
which about the last two stages?
I mean, last three stages, I think, sounds better.
Yeah. My last three stages, I think I just sort of fell apart a little bit. I was second to last. I was second on the third and then first on the second to last stage and then last on the last stage.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, right.
And I think my mind had just sort of checked out. So the third to last stage, I made a few bad wind calls. That was, good with that.
Yep.
So I was in the mind game of the being first on the next stage, ready to go, ceasefire. And I think that's also another thing, like when you get in the flow and you're in the right mindset and everything. I'm not trying to make excuses, but I am. You're just sort of like, you get in the right mindset, you're ready to go on a stage, you've worked it all out, and then it's like, ceasefire. It's like,
it's okay. Like,
what do you do? So mentally, I'm not sure if you know, but what do you do?
Yeah, during a ceasefire?
No, if you're about the next person up to shoot and then you get a ceasefire, what's your – do you have a plan?
I was going
to
– because I had this scenario running through a stage. One of the guys was ready to go and there was a little bit of sort of delay and then they were about to call a ceasefire and they said, one shooter, go one shooter. And the arrows – with me, the spotter's like, oh, no, we're going ceasefire. I'm like, no, this guy's ready to go. We got told we're allowed one more. He's going. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I just want to go. He shot really, really well. But I can understand that, you're all prepped, mentally prepped for the last X amount of, half an hour you've been working towards this one moment.
Yeah.
And ceasefire, there's no way around them. Like, they happen, right?
Yeah.
It's good. It's a good question. How do you deal with that?
So – that was the plus one stage, so the KYL targets essentially. I think what I probably should have done is put the gun down, go back to my binos, glass, sort of watch wind and stuff, because my first couple of shots were definitely, I think I might have, no.
Discovery shots.
Yeah, they weren't like definite.
That's what you should have done. What did you actually do?
I put the gun down, I was just talking to people.
Easy to do.
Yeah.
There's lots of people to look
at. Because it's just, you're just there and...
I,
you,
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I put my gun down and I'll go and do that exact thing and just turn off for a minute or 2 minutes or something like that, and then keep a bit of an eye on what's going on downrange. And then when it looks like, yeah, they're getting close, like I stand behind my binos.
Yep.
And just spend a minute, just for 30 seconds, whatever it is.
Just running through it again.
Just watching the wind going, is it doing the same as before? And I had two times that happened to me on the weekend.
Yeah, right.
Did you recover all right?
Yeah, the second time the wind had started blowing from the other, well, looked like it was blowing from the other way.
Mm.
And so the stage officer was like, sure, did you understand the call to fire? And you're like, nope. He's like, oh, right. He starts explaining it to me and I'm like, no, still really not sure.
This is why we run overtime. This is why.
He's like, you're right. What's the actual problem? Like, the wind's blowing the wrong way. and eventually he's like, are you ready? And I'm like, yeah, the wind's blowing the right way now. I'm good to go.
You're lucky I wasn't the RO.
I would have just dropped my mag or something.
I actually noticed it from Andy this weekend, though, for a few of the stages that we filmed, of you just taking that extra second before actually shooting and just having that ponder round of what's happening there.
Yeah, have a quick look at the trees, quick look at the flags behind you.
Yeah. Mm.
Yep.
How long would you guys say it would take you to get into the zone to then shoot a stage?
Oh, if you understand the stage brief. And
yeah,
the
let's
targets.
See. You understand the stage brief.
You're talking after
right?
a ceasefire? Or as in
I'm talking in general, but ceasefire, either way, from the moment you're like, okay, I'm going to go shoot this stage now. Now you understand everything, you're prepped, you've got all your equipment ready to roll.
Got your data.
I guess what I'm talking about is getting your head into that stage of like, do you need 10 seconds? Do you need 2 minutes? Like, what do you have a set process? Because we've got set processes for like checking your gun, checking your ammo, checking all this thing. You stand up, you're like, okay, flip caps, this, bipod, whatever it is, right? But is there a mental adjustment that you're like, all right, I'm this shooter is finishing in the next, you know, they're about to finish. Probably gives me 1 minute, 30 seconds, whatever it is. Gotcha. How long?
So two things. So Hilltop is different to most ranges because of the shortened shooting hours. So we run smaller squads, a bit more like a club match.
Yep.
Where if you're the first or second shooter up, you need to have been there to watch the last couple of shooters of the last squad shoot.
Okay.
Establish your target order and that sort of stuff and be familiar.
Yep.
Because you get read the stage brief.
Yep. And then you're up.
First shooter, you are ready to go. There's no 5 minutes of writing your dope down. You are next shooter.
Yep.
So Sydney, that actually caught me out the match earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't prepared for that enough. And I think the result suffered as a result. Yeah, that's a word.
Yep. Your performance suffered as a result,
yes. Yeah. But take that aside. Normally, like my process is I'll spend time on glass at the start of the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll go down and look through my scope if you're allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure my dope's obviously you've already done your data card and stuff and you're looking at like I'll practice my holds or pick my holds in my reticle. Check your parallax, that type of stuff. Make sure your gear's squared away. I'm looking to do that four or so shooters before it's my turn to go up. And then I'll try and get off and spend two or three shooters on glass and going, okay, the wind's doing this, it's doing this. Yep. You've got your wind call squared away.
Yeah.
And then I'll try and make sure my gear's ready about 30 seconds before that last shooter's done. I'll go from my binos, pick up my gun and be standing there waiting to go.
Yeah.
At that point, you're just looking for downwind indicators to see if the wind's changed or done something different or still doing the same thing as when you got off the glass.
Yeah. Andy, anything from you?
Yeah, I'd say pretty well similar sort of process.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you know what you're doing. But that, while the person before you is shooting, watching on glass, watching what's happening downrange.
Okay.
And then just before they're about to finish, grab your stuff. And then while I'm standing there waiting, following on, I'd be just working through the shot process.
Okay. So you're thinking about what you're shooting.
Yeah. Two shots here, move. Two shots,
mag change here okay.
To backtrack on that a little bit, usually the first thing I do is watch another shooter shoot the stage with my binos and I'm thinking, okay, so this is the next target and you're waiting. You're like, yep. And then that's the next target. Yep.
Yeah, you follow along.
Yeah. And you do it. And then you've got to be very careful that the shooter that you're watching doesn't do the order wrong. Because if they do the order wrong, they it's in your head. And it can be quite difficult to get that out of your head. And if you watch somebody do it wrong, it's quite common for you to do the same thing.
Yeah, okay, interesting.
I'll sometimes, as I'm watching through the binos, other people engage targets, I'll try and read out my holds and possibly a wind call and then go, right, if that's 0.4 wind there and they miss off to the left, I'll be like, right, so that's, I might have to hold 0.6. Yep. Or just like, you know, what ifs sort
yeah.
of thing.
Okay. I spend a fair bit of time on glass trying to calibrate.
Yep.
Are you sitting there behind binos, like calling out things and then like whispering in back to yourself, thinking you got it? Is that what you're doing?
I mean, I hit them all when I'm doing that. Oh, I never miss. I also need to, obviously you've got your Kestrel and you've got your information and you're seeing what you're seeing downrange. And I spend that time on glass going, okay, I think the wind is doing this. And then you've got a quick judgment call to make is how good a wind caller is this shooter? Did they pull a good shot? And you're like, okay, I think it's this. And you're like, they missed downwind. And you're like, oh, if Butters is shooting, Butters is a pretty good wind caller. Like, you're like, he missed downwind. You're like, probably a bit stronger than I think.
I'll just correct you. He's pretty good at wind. Not sure about the wind calling part.
Right.
silent and deadly. And
then, yeah, I spend quite a bit of time trying to calibrate what I'm seeing downrange to actual information and just try and get that squared away in my head. And then you start seeing those things and you know what they mean.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Very good. I've forgotten where I was going to go with that. Oh, Andy, you got something to add to it?
I guess following on, as soon as you're standing there ready to go, pretty well as soon as that shooter's finished and the RO starts walking up to you and says, shooter, do you understand cause fire? It's like, yeah, that mental snap, yep, like you're definitely game just on. In.
Yeah.
And then, I've got a pre-stage routine in terms of when they say load and make ready. You know, it's look at the mag, make sure you got 10 rounds. Because I've drilled a little hole in the back.
You wait till then, right.
No.
It's a double check.
That's a double check because after a stage, post-stage, it's...
Yeah, it's worse to do it after a stage. Yeah.
Actually, that's a really important thing to mention very, very strict post-stage routine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where I get off, put my gun
down. Is that where you throw your bag at Josh and then storm off?
Usually it's restraining myself and throwing my bag at Josh.
Okay. Restraining yourself.
And then, reset my turrets.
He said it wrong. Straining himself to throw the bag.
Reset my turrets, get my gear off. I generally have my...
Oh, wow, this got serious real quick. I haven't seen that in the match. I'm going to watch you closer next time.
I like to have my rifle with just the bipod on it, nothing else.
That's why I was hanging around him so much.
Makes sense now. Plus, he shoots
I go back. I'm trying to have a serious conversation.
Throws the bag at Josh.
There's no serious conversation.
Gets his gear off. Sorry. Anyway, after a stage and after you got your gear off.
I retrieve my brass, put that away, load my magazines.
Where do you put the brass if you've got no gear on?
In the brass pouch.
Oh, there's always a brass pouch. Okay, good.
I don't want to talk. I don't want to do anything. I just want to square away so I'm good for the next stage. And then you can go and talk about all the shots that you missed and all, the wing calls.
The tack tables.
Yeah, tack tables and 6/10 of a second or 1/100 of a second.
Oh, speaking of tack tables.
Josh.
You've just reminded me. There was a stage where you made a decision in your life that had consequences. Tell us about that, Plushie. I'll let you tell the real story.
So, I mean, I was good enough to bring...
And then we'll correct it.
Can we start this out with I was good enough to spend my own time building a mover and then bringing it
to the
match.
No, get to the stage. Let's get to the stage.
The mover was involved in this stage.
Okay, oh, wow. And cool. So you would have hit them all.
For all those playing at home, how many of you have changed your stage plan 1.5 shooters before it was your turn and it went well? Anybody? Nope.
Yes.
I did that, I was just going to one bag it.
Okay.
And then I watched Ash tack table.
Sorry. You're in a position that you're leading the match. Mm. You haven't dropped a shot all day, according to Andy. And you're coming up and then you're like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm a good shooter. I'm doing very well. Probably leading the match at this point. If not, I'm very close.
I would have been, yes.
And at that point you go, I'll do what someone else thinks.
Yep. That's exactly what I did. Yeah, I'm just going to play it safe and I'm just going to play it safe and do something I've never done before. So I decided to tack table rear because I saw somebody else do it and it went pretty well for them.
Tell us what tack table rear means.
So instead of using tripod rear, it's like adding a bag on top and making it three times harder. So
tack table is like a plate or some sort of thing.
Yeah, you use your tripod and you put a tack plate on top and then you use your rear bag on top.
Okay. And they're really good for dip.
And if you get the height right, it's like shooting prone off of a barricade.
Okay.
Did not get the height right.
Big emphasis on if you get the height right.
And then I had a gamer plate with a bag attached to the front.
Just out of interest, what margin of error is the if coming down to?
It's like probably 20 millimeters.
Yeah.
If even.
Not much if.
Yeah,
okay.
Not much if.
Cool. So
I thought I had it good.
If you get that right.
And then after fumbling the first stage and probably spending half of the available time trying to make it work, I ditched the tripod and
one bagged it like the original plan was, but I had an additional bag on the front that was quite heavy.
Okay.
And then hit everything that I aimed at.
Yep.
But just gave up four shots at the end, didn't get the last shots off. So I got an 8 out of 12.
Ouch.
And then in the meantime, Rusty had walked up and I sort of walked back and I wasn't even that angry. I was just like, I've just done something.
You should have been.
Yeah, I was like, I've just done something very silly that is going to cost me at the end of this weekend.
Just disappointed.
Okay. Yeah.
Suddenly, you were very lucky too because we both nearly filmed that stage and we went, nah, we've actually got enough of Plushie for today, so we won't worry about it.
Oh, film exists. Shame. Don't worry. Film exists.
Oh, good. We need that. Whoever's got that, send it to me.
I'm not telling you who that is.
Sean.
No. No,
it wasn't Sean.
No.
Blacker. Steve Blacker.
No.
Oh, that was very defensive.
No, it's no, none of those people.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm still going to message
them.
It's
none of those people. Nope.
That's right. I'll just put a general call out.
I can track down everyone
just,
in your squad.
Just so that person knows, I know secrets about them if they're thinking about speaking up.
No, it's like, hey, it can come in anonymously. These things get passed around.
I still know secrets about that person.
Okay, 95% of people share
I know
95% around.
Of the secrets about that person.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so that cost me pretty dearly.
I know some secrets out of Plushie if you want them as collateral. Anyway, just saying.
Good. Yeah.
We've got footage.
So, the price paid was high.
Yeah, yes. It was. Yeah.
Yep.
Because I saw you do that. I'm like, what on earth is he doing? That what is? Why is this thing on top of a tripod? He doesn't normally do.
It was the steadiest barricade, and one bag was more than enough. Yeah, it was just.
It was rock solid. The barricades were rock solid.
It was
good.
Yeah, just yep. If I could go back in time.
All right. So, favorite stage from day 2.
Not that one.
What wasn't your favourite stage from day 2?
That one. Yeah.
Okay, good. Favourite stage day 2.
That was my favourite stage from that day.
Yeah, me too.
Wow. Actually, no, the vertical limits was my favourite stage of that day.
Tell us about vertical limits.
So vertical limits was that stupid... what's that thing, like the A-frame that's got the horizontal
post? It's like a ladder thing.
You have to get inside of it, like climb over the top of it to be able to shoot off of it, and you can't use tripod rear, like 95% of people are going to suck.
Yep.
So I got in and did the first 3 positions, then used tripod rear for the last 2. But anyway.
Yep. Okay.
No, it was, I think I had a good stage approach and I cleaned it, and not many, I think only one other person cleaned it.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, and it was just, it was a good stage. I ran it. I ran it smart. I did the right things. Didn't tack table rear and it went pretty well.
Good. Plushie, well, no, you're Plushie.
I'm Plushie, that's Andy.
The other one.
Sorry, Plushie, on that stage though, what was the cause of fire? What are we?
Some details. Engage 10 rounds from the 5 barricade positions.
Mm-hmm.
Shooter starts behind the mark line, port arms, mag in, bolt back. On the signal, the shooter will choose any of the mark positions, being the horizontal rails.
Yep.
And engage the near big and small targets with 1 round each. The shooter will then move to the next position and engage the next furthest big and small targets with 1 round each. Shooter will continue in the same manner, progressing from near to far, moving positions every 2 shots. So it was essentially a troop line with a 50% IPSC and a target that was quite a bit smaller than that next to it. It was just IPSC, next target, next position.
So relatively simple stage, but a bit going on.
It was complex in the position was complex,
yes.
I think, and the targets were reasonably small given the conditions.
Okay.
Well, the IPSC was pretty generous, but
you're
the
just trying to make yourself sound better?
Yeah.
Good.
Yep.
Yeah, fair enough. Take all the opportunities.
If you ran a tremor, it was really good because it was, yeah.
Andy, what about, speaking of tremors, how did you go? What was your favourite stage?
I reckon the first stage I shot on day 2.
Okay, what was that?
Just finding
for
the tread.
For those playing at home, yeah.
Yeah, finding the
tread. How'd you go on that one?
Give us a rundown.
I got 10 on that one, Andy.
Well done.
Didn't drop a shot all day. Righto.
Yeah.
400 you dropped on the tack table stage.
Yeah, so finding a tread, we're shooting off rather large, like tractor tyres.
Mm-hmm.
One of them
was a really big tyre. I remember pushing that around in the range. That was big.
They'd be quite heavy.
Yeah,
that's what she said.
I tripod reared this one.
No, she didn't.
Never happened.
Sorry.
Yeah, I tripod reared this one. It was, I don't know, it was just a good stage. Good. I did well.
I'm glad.
Because we watched people try it with a bipod in one bag and it was horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah.
How many did you get on that one, Butters? Bipod and bag. How many did you get? All but one. So you dropped one. Imagine if you used tripod rear, you might have got them all.
Right.
No, I sort of figured there was plenty of time for his tripod. And I don't like shooting off of tyres with a bipod in a bag. It's bouncy and you got to get the spacing right. You got the knobs on the tyres.
So it's probably pretty similar stage reading. It's five different positions across the tyre and two shots from each.
And then it was far, near.
Okay.
Too far, too near. Yeah, it's just a basic stage, but it was good.
It's good. Okay. Very good.
Nothing too exciting. The mover wasn't that great.
So you struggled on the mover as well?
Oh, I think I...
Did you tack table rear?
No.
Oh, wow. But
I How should have?
Oh, I can't remember.
How many did you get?
What was the mover stage?
Stage 15.
15. He got 8 out of 12.
Oh, I completely clustered that and I got 8 out of 12 as well.
Go team.
All right.
Oh, that's the one I shot the wrong target on. Because there was two squares at the back. And over, if you panned a little bit further left, there was another square for a different stage.
Oh, yeah.
I shot that target, saw it hit, didn't hear anything, panned over. Damn it!
Are they the words you really used?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I'm not sure that's exactly what you said. But anyway, very good.
Yeah.
So, gents, the finale, the 2023 finale. And then we went to presentations.
We did.
How are you feeling on the way to presentations, Andy?
Oh, a bit nervous. There's always plenty of rumours heading around and you sort of get a vibe of how other people shot. But I knew those last three stages cost me the match. That definitely hurt me, as well as dropping one on the skills. Just a few rookie mistakes there. But, I think series-wise,
Just
talking about the match right now. Don't get ahead
of
yourself.
What about you, Flushy?
I thought that I'd done okay.
Okay.
I scored – when I added up – I didn't think that I'd done that well, and then I added up my score from the day, and then I realised I got more points than the day before.
Okay.
And I was like, ooh.
I can tell you that Andy didn't because I just looked at his book.
That's what we were bickering about before. We found the reason that he didn't win is because he didn't get more points on day two than day one.
So
I'd add it up, and then I was like, ooh, hang on, this is probably not as bad as you were thinking. I thought I'd given up a podium on dumping those points on the mover.
Yep.
And then I'd heard that that Patrick had got one.
Is that the US shooter, Patrick?
Yes, yep. Patrick.
A bit of a legend of a bloke, good lad.
He is a top guy. Yeah, he's good. Absolute top guy.
Quality guy. Laughed at all my jokes, which no one does. So well done, Patrick, putting up with that. I liked him.
He's rather polite there.
Very polite.
Funny side story. He learned some new words.
I'm not surprised about that. Yes.
And we were talking. I think he was there and Martin were there and I was chatting with the Queenslanders and it gets a bit colourful when you chat with the Queenslanders.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at Martin and I'm like, are we offending you? Because if we are, sorry. And he's like, oh, no, this is great.
No. Martin's been to Australia many times.
Yeah.
I believe yearly, and he knows all the words.
Yes. Right. And he's like, no, this is fine. And we're like, okay, we're good. And, anyway, back to the real story. I'd heard that Patrick got 134. And I was like, I got 133. Okay, right. So this is a bit tighter than I thought.
Yep.
And I'd been shooting. Ash was in the squad. I got re-squatted.
You did.
Mm-hmm. They broke up the
band.
You
were really happy with that.
Well, what we learned is that you, in a PRS match, you get shooting buddies, right? You break them to your squads and then you work out. You're like, oh, I know this guy and we can, you know, work together and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then on day two, I had to start that again.
Yeah.
Which it is what it is. Lucky I had Sean in the squad and we just buddied up pretty quick and off we went. So I was like, okay. And I was also squatted with Ash.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, Ash has had a cracking day.
Yep.
I was like, oh, I reckon Ash has got me. He was
Ash had struggled the day before, hadn't he?
I think he was 4 points behind coming into it. And I'm like, oh, he has got more than 4 points on me today for sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
And I was like, all right, so I reckon there's a good chance I'm in with third or there might be a dark horse.
Yep.
And then I was standing there waiting to order dinner at presentations and somebody's like, good work, Plushy. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be on the podium or not. And he's like, well, you beat Ash. I'm like, ooh. Hello. I'm like, ooh. And then I sort of thought about it. I'm like, ooh, I might be in second here.
Okay.
And then just had to wait and do the nervous wait until presentations to see if that was really the case. I went and rechecked my scores at that point and added up again to make sure I didn't add points where it was none or something like that.
Yeah. And it played out how you thought then. You were first Australian.
Yes, see?
Yeah.
We can just zoom in. That is my trophy.
I like how Josh just went, what? Zoom in. Nah. Yeah, first Australian. Well done. So Patrick did take out the win by a point.
I was pretty happy. We were chatting about it in the lead up to the match and we're like, really hope that that Patrick doesn't wipe the floor with Australia and he goes back and says to everybody over there, geez, those guys can shoot.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think that was the takeaway. Yeah. I don't feel like I don't after you, I've given up a match before. And you're like you have all these regrets.
No, you've given up a couple.
Yeah, okay, I've given up a couple. you usually have regrets and you're like, oh, what coulda, woulda, shoulda. And
yeah.
I actually walked away from that thinking like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
We looked him up and he finished 17th in the US finale last year.
Wow.
Mm. Like the dude can shoot.
Yeah. He can shoot.
Yeah, the dude can shoot. And if I can rub shoulders with him, I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, that's good.
Absolutely.
Is that with or with your gear off?
Doesn't matter, mate. I'll take what I can get.
I do have a fun side story from your getting your award because you came up into presentations very, very unhappy because someone had just put a hole in their Raptor.
Oh, yeah.
I remember you walking into that.
As if tack table wasn't enough.
Yeah. But you then went off and had a look. We walked through the prize table and all the rest of it. And I turned to Sam, who didn't know scores yet. And I was like, it's fine. Give him 10 minutes. It'll come round. He'll be happy again.
Yeah. I brought the mover over for the match and I packed it on the trailer and it overhangs the trailer a bit front and back. And I just was reversing out of the range and I was like, I just need to sneak around that corner a little bit tighter and we'll be good. And
yep.
I sort of, as I put my foot on the brake, I heard a pop and I was like, oh man, what is this? Got out and there was this nice little hole from the mover track system in my tail light. And I was like, well, one more impact for the mover for the weekend. I think I spent most of the drive to the presentations cursing myself.
Well, congratulations. You end up second. Equal points with Ash, actually. But you had him just on the tiebreaker side of things.
Good thing you took your time.
Yeah.
Good thing Ash takes more time.
That's right. And 1 point between first, second and third, which is exciting to see. And then on to the series side of things, because obviously the finale, the match is one thing, but the series is what really counts for it. And obviously Patrick's points weren't involved in the series count. So yourself and Ash ended up on 150 points from the finale. Mm-hmm. And that put you guys, put it in a position where Plushie, Ash won. And congratulations to Ash.
Turns out he'd had a better season than me.
Yeah, they won two matches and that certainly helped. So he finished out the year on 4 points.
Perfect score.
Yeah. Congratulations to him for doing so. Just behind him, who was so close on the way to a perfect score, Anthony Colley, two stages on the Saturday morning that did not go to plan.
Yeah.
Checked his zero. That also didn't go to plan because it was perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, he was disappointed.
I think I know what happened.
Yeah.
So, he shot in New Zealand points and they're just a smidge less than Australian points.
Okay. Yeah. Not worth as much.
You should try shooting in Australian points next year, Colley.
Fix that accent. And so, he finished second and then third, not sixth, third is this gentleman sitting here.
What's out?
Yeah. Went from fifth to third in the finale. Well done, Andy.
Thank you.
How'd you feel?
Surprised. Yeah.
Were you actually surprised? You're just being modest.
No. I was actually surprised.
Okay.
Because I don't really add up the points for the series.
Not good
stuff.
With numbers,
are
you?
Not good with numbers.
We can tell when you do the board.
So I was like, big struggles. I'm not sure. I know I've sort of done all right. And I wasn't sure. Like the guys were saying, oh, you need this many points to, you know, get a podium. And I was like, I don't know how many points I got.
But he snuck in for third.
It was a surprise.
Congratulations, man. Now, plus you were third last year.
I did. Yeah, so there's a funny story behind this, which I think you're alluding to.
Well, go for it.
Yeah, so last year
Take the floor, mate.
Yeah, last year in the series finale, I
your microphone just fart? Is that what that was?
Yeah.
There we go.
I think I had a stage where I dropped some points, which is also on video by the same person that has the tack table video. And if you release that, my heart will break.
Release it.
Yeah.
That's all that's going to happen. Go for it.
Approximately.
He doesn't have a heart.
Approximately.
Come on.
Or a soul.
No. Soul is the one who does.
So last year I dropped more points than.
He's got a heart because it pumps all that blood to the face when he has hot sauce. We can tell.
I dropped plenty of points throughout the match, but I lost three particularly important points from a mag failure last year, which took me from a series win to third place.
Series win.
It would have been a series win.
Wow.
And Andy beat me in the match.
Mm.
You came third and I came fourth.
Mm-hmm.
But I came third in the series.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, I beat you in the match.
That's it.
Where did you come?
Third in the series. Yeah. Ah, you guys are trading something or other. Yeah. Trading
we've got a plan for next year.
Both sixth. Got it. Oh, very good. Well, there's some trophies out here. There we go. There's the bullet for third place.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. Good stuff. Are you happy with that for the season? Is it a surprise?
I'm pretty stoked. I've like to see, progress over the years.
Yeah,
I'd say I'm pretty happy with that. To see myself consistently
improve.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So second or first next year? Don't choke.
Yeah, I'll just have to break some kneecaps.
Remember, well, don't suck if you do swallow.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Solid advice.
Josh is here with good information.
I think the other thing was pretty cool. As was the case last year, there was the finale allowed for some big position changes.
It did. Yeah.
And this year was very much the same.
Yep.
Except for Ash, but
yeah.
Apart from Ash smashed it. But yeah, there were some big changes, which was
so we round out the top five with Joel coming in fourth, who also got the Sportsmanship Award.
That's correct. Yep.
And I remember doing a quick interview with him after he got his fourth place, and he was still dumbfounded about the Sportsmanship Award. Yeah. He was still like, that hasn't sunk in, let alone this. Yeah. But honestly, could have.
Yep.
I think the best choice for it. Yep. Yeah.
Good on him.
Well done. So you wouldn't believe where I finished for the season, Andy.
Oh, I would.
Sixth.
Really?
Was it sixth?
Yep.
It was sixth. Yeah. One short, which leaves Guy Jackson in fifth. So congratulations to Guy as well.
Yep.
Three guys went in on 4 points and finished first, second and fifth. Mm. Certainly, like last year, it certainly changed some positions around.
That's it.
It's good. The finale. It all comes down to the finale, which is really what you want. You don't want someone rolling in there in a almost unlosable position.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, with those extra 50% points on that particular match, it means that when the time to step up, you have to step up.
Yep. And then you also get, throughout the year, you'll get every match. There's always a strong field at every match, but the strongest field is at the finale. You can't have it. You can't have an off day.
The Canberra is pretty much there, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah. You cannot have an off day.
Yeah, no, that's right, and it really, who can perform on under the conditions? So that's very good.
And consistently, like, you don't want to drop the last three stages, really. That's
no, ever, or no. The first three, or the middle three, or any stages,
but it just like in saying that, and I think
you got punished for
someone
for messing up
in the States did the same. Where you don't have to necessarily clean every stage, just be consistent.
Well, the guy that won last year didn't win a match.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah,
that's right. And we thought there was some potential there. We were thinking, if Andy pulls off day two, Andy was in a position to take out the series and not have won a match.
If you hadn't tried to get in my head, then maybe you wouldn't have been in your head and you could have done it.
That's right. That's right.
Who knows?
Well, it was also my last PRS match in formal role.
Yes.
And I was very looked after by Trent and Luke and the whole crew there. So I ended up with a big big photo thing, there somewhere. And then they put that aside and everyone signed. I haven't read that actually. Plus, you've had it since then.
I also haven't read it.
I won't be able to. I'll see that tonight, perhaps, or tomorrow.
I also haven't signed it.
I didn't want your signature anyway. There's some stuff. Some stuff. I've looked at the matchbook here. No. There's some stuff on there I'm looking forward to reading, and then I got given a life membership.
Oh, that
as
was
well.
Cool. That was very
in the
cool.
Form of Golden Bullet, which I thought was a bit unfair to those others who have got Golden Bullets, but I'm. I'm on.
They say different things.
They say different things. Correct. Less. Yep. They say less.
Yeah.
So what I figured, my plan now is to train up a lot between now and next year, win next season.
Yep.
Right? And then it'll be a race between Ash Porner and myself to three Golden Bullets.
Okay.
The race is on.
Okay.
The race ain't on.
you want to hear a funny story from the weekend?
Sure. So I got given a bottle of gin.
Yes. It relates to the Golden Bullet. So there was a point where I brought the trophies over.
Yep.
And there was on Sunday.
Oh, God, what did you do to them?
Well, you'll never know.
I haven't touched mine without gloves.
So I brought them over, and then there's a point in the weekend where you're like, oh, hey, Plushy, where's the trophies? I'm like, oh, I think in my car. And then you wandered off, and Nick comes running up. It's like, oh, Oh, the extra trophies there for Rusty. He can't see it. He'll see it if he unpacks the trophies. I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, I think they're in the room. Like back at the, and you're like, oh, okay, just give me the key. I'm like, oh, I have to find it. It's in my car somewhere. And run off and Nick's like, oh, we'll take it. It's fine. Like, Russ, don't worry. We'll come and like, we'll say, you just go, we'll bring the trophies. And you're at this point like, what the fuck is wrong with this guys? Like, they just want the trophies. Like, just give me the trophies so I can go.
Yeah.
And I went to my car and the key to the room was in the center console. And I'm like, oh, shit, Noski must have it. And then you're like, oh shit, these guys are useless. And you start
not an untrue statement.
Yeah, and you start trudging off to find Noski. And then Nick, like having like bullshitted to you for the last 10 minutes, like believe what I was talking about.
10 years.
Yeah, sorry. And then Nick goes trudging off to find Noski as well. I'm like, oh fuck. And I'm like, Nick. And he's like, what? I'm like, fucking here. And he's like, oh, right, yeah. I got it. And then you're like, yeah, we'll go back and get it. It's all good. And
yeah. Then Nick's like, oh, we'll drive back and we'll. I like how he said to me, he goes, we'll pick it up on the way. I'm like, dude, it's at the place where the presentations are. How are you going to pick it up on the way? Anyway, and funny thing was, I wouldn't have been the one unpacking them anyway.
And then I almost blew the last stage of the match because of that. I literally, I was off in doing that and I came back and they're like, right, so, you know, we're up to the third shooter. I'm like, ooh, no stage brief. Okay, ooh. And I'm like the sixth shooter and I'm just like writing my data card as quickly as possible. I was just like, oh, geez. And then I did all right.
You did all right, that's good. But that's good.
Who went?
What? Yeah, seen those photos, Nick, it's all right. So I got looked up, so it was good. And then plus you took me out and bought me a McFlurry.
Oh, yeah. So my parting gift.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate the McFlurry. Only because the bar closed at 4 o'clock, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, wow, we were going to have a big night. But
yeah, we'd all plan to leave late the next morning or make like co-driver's drive or something. Yeah,
that didn't happen. So 10 o'clock, it was out the door and off to McDonald's. Anyway, I enjoyed it. It was a great last weekend. Yeah, appreciate it.
It's not your last weekend. It's just
the last weekend in any formal role capacity.
What are you talking about? You're going to be match director next year.
Have you seen the matches? All right, I'm not interested in your feedback or your stable platforms, right?
Good thing I've got
upside
tripods.
Down wobble.
Oh,
platform,
can you write a match just so I can film everyone complaining?
It's all it will be is who complains the loudest gets the no. I have thought maybe I should ride an old practical style match, 2017 era match. One day, run at the club and have no one rock up. I'd enjoy it. Nick would enjoy it, wouldn't you, Nick? Yep, Butters will come down for
it.
Yeah, good. All right. Anyway, we'll do one of those of those days.
Awesome.
All right. I reckon that's about it tonight.
Sweet.
Except one thing. We have two episodes left for this season. Ooh. Plus maybe some golden yeet related things later. But two episodes left for this season. Next episode we'll be talking about stuff. But the one after that, we have teed up a special podcast. Now I can't say who it's with.
I can't.
But in the show notes for this episode, or the link in YouTube or wherever it is, there is a link. I need you to go to that link and fill out the questions. I'll fill out some answers for the questions there. We want to hear from you guys about these things. It will play a role in that last episode. And so we need your input, and we especially need your input on this podcast because there might be another podcast involved and we definitely want to smash those guys. Oops. No, no.
Oh, that got really
Let's do it again. Right. Anyway, so a little bit of rivalry between us and another podcast that we want to see. Us take the win. All right. We've taken a bunch of trophies already. Mm-hmm. Those guys haven't taken any trophies.
Well, not the ones you put on your desk. You put them on the wall.
Maybe. Right? Maybe yeah, I don't know. Maybe
this goes on the wall.
You put this on the wall. Anyway, that's the plan. So we will load up all our trophies. And we will look forward to that. That's in a bit over a month's time. But, guys, we will need you to jump in the link and answer the questions. Mm. And that will be a big benefit. Let's see where we go from there. So news coming soon on that front. Anything from you guys?
No.
No? You've finished the year out. Do you want to thank anyone?
Oh, just – what are those? What are they called? Sponsors. They're sponsors, this guy sitting here that everybody can't see.
Yep.
We've been working together for a very long time.
Well done, person we can't see.
Very, very long time. Thank you to Manil, Nick and Miff. You guys have been great. Swan Barrels have been really, really good as well. I've been how long has that been? 3 or 4 years? 4 years? Something, 3 years, something like that. Nightforce optics, KDEX for the chassis, and well, how do I get on?
The finger Nightforce. Sponsor?
The finger sponsor. Oh, and Maxord.
Yep.
It's been good.
Andy?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to thank Carlos Optics for helping me out with the very clear glass they supplied me.
Good.
Yeah.
Why are you giggling so much about that?
What did you miss?
That's on me.
Righto.
That's
and on I guess I need to thank all the guys who are the companies that have supported. There's too many to name. All the supporters of PRS over there. Many years, I'll stack them there, but they get a bunch of wraps on there. But personally, want to thank because there's been amazing relationships with so many companies over the last 7 years, eight years if we include PRIs, who have supported us. And so, it's been phenomenal to work with them and loved it. And look forward to continuing to deal with them in various ways from here on in. So. Yep. Anyway, that's all the soppy stuff. Let's wrap it up.
Let's do it.
See you guys next episode.
See y'all.